Well, good morning. How's everybody out there today? Okay, well, you're going to have to get a little more louder than that. Yeah, thank you, because I like feedback, right? You know, because I'm one of those crazy people. Is anybody else a crazy person in here? Is anybody ready to look at your neighbor right now, look at them and say, it's about to get crazy in here? And that's okay. And that's okay, because I have good news for you. I looked up the definition of crazy. First, though, I want to read a scripture to you in 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3. It says, preach the word, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. So it's in the Bible. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the sound of wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm not one of those people. If you go to this church, you're not going to hear what your itching ears want to hear. You're going to hear what God is telling you for today that's going to spur you on, as Pastor Bob says, poke you and make you want to become more like Jesus and reach more people for the kingdom purposes. Amen? And that might be a little crazy in the world we live today, but I'm just giving you a little forewarning that I might do a little bit of that poking today. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for crazy people who are called, equipped, anointed, appointed, and sent for such a time as this. Lord, we bind every distraction and lie of the enemy in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears to hear, that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our hearts to hear and receive your truth, and that we would respond in obedience. Lord, I pray for clear communication and fresh anointing. Father God, I pray the Holy Spirit, we invite you to move in this place, in our hearts, in a powerful way, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about crazy people. Yes, we are in a series about revival, and I truly believe that if we're ever going to see revival, that we got to be a little crazy. And I think that term just has so much. I think that, like, my grandmother was from the day when if you were filled with the Holy Spirit, she told me that, because I was raised Church Christ, so nothing was talked about the Holy Spirit or anything like that, like the stuff that Jesus did, really. I mean, they told us the stories, but they didn't, like, say we were supposed to do the stuff. And so, you know, I really never heard about it. And my grandmother would call what I am now a holy roller. I was like, what is a holy roller, Grammy? And she'd say, they run around and they jump down the aisles and they roll around. And I was like, well, that's really not what we do. So we're not that crazy. So I looked up the definition of crazy. And it says the first one is mentally deranged. And when I told my daughter I was going to be preaching on this, she goes, now, Mom, you said that God had delivered you from mental illness. And I said, well, I'm not talking about being mentally ill. There is a second definition. So I'm here to tell you, I'm not talking about being mentally ill for Jesus, okay? What I am talking about is the second definition, which is extremely enthusiastic. That's a good one. I mean, I am crazy about Jesus. Are you crazy about Jesus? Yeah. Because if you're not, before you leave today, I'm going to believe that you're going to be. So when Pastor Bob is home, he's catching a healing, and he's pretty much on the end of his healing. You know, God is healing him, but he's resting and just making sure his voice all comes back and all that. And so about the same time Bob got sick, and if for you that don't know, I'm married to him. Some say I'm his better half, but we won't get into that this morning. But anyway, about the time he got sick, I heard that song, Crazy People. And I'm driving into work, and I hear that song, Crazy People, and I heard the Lord just go, you're going to have to be crazy to see what's coming. You're going to have to be a little crazy, Tammy. And I was like, well, that's easy for me, because I'm crazy all the time. But that's hard for some people. Like, I'm an extrovert. I'm not an introvert. I'm an extrovert. I don't meet a stranger. My granddaughter's always telling me, she goes, Grammy, how do you just walk up to strangers in the middle of the grocery store and start talking to them? And you know all kinds of things about them by the end of the conversation. I go, well, it's just really easy. You just walk up and start talking. You just open your mouth. And she's like, oh, I can't do that. I was like, yes, you can. But I understand that God made each one of us different. And all of us have different giftings, and some of us are more introverted. So today, I'm not saying you have to be like me. I'm saying you need to be like who God's created you to be, but you need to push the envelope a little bit. You need to be like the mother bird in the nest that her kids haven't, her little birds have not learned how to fly, and so she gets behind them and she kicks them out of the nest. Because if you don't, you'll stay right where you are. Amen? So that song, everything about that song, you should look it up. It's Casting Crowns. And, like, I just love everything. I mean, if we're going to be crazy, we have to be a little bit like Noah. Built a boat when it hadn't even rained. Can you imagine what the people said about him? Or Daniel in the lion's den. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, that's crazy. Like, I am going to be put in a furnace because I'm not going to bow down to your rules. But in the days we live in right now, we are going to have to get a little crazy. We're going to have to get a little courage and boldness behind us when everything around us is telling us to do counter Jesus, counter what God says. Then we're going to have to be bold enough to say, you know, if you throw me in a fiery furnace, then if I die, I die. But my Jesus is going to be right there with me. Amen. Walking in there, we're going to be praising in the fiery furnace, because it's better to be on fire for Jesus than to be walking around dead here in this world and have no influence and have no power and just be comfortable. Okay, I'm just getting started. Look at your neighbor and say, it's about to get crazy in here. So I came today with a few questions. Actually, more than I probably should have had, so I'm going to try to preach really fast. So if I get off on rabbit trails, I told Julie, I said, Julie, just start doing this. Like, stick to your notes, Tammy, stick to your notes. Pastor Bob is a teacher and a preacher, and Jacqueline's very good at that too. I am, like, not, okay? God just downloads stuff to me, and then I'm just a passionate person. It just comes out all crazy. And so I have a hard time sticking to my notes. What can I say? But I am prepared. I did prepare. Like, I spent a lot of time on this, so it's really good if I can just do it bunny trail. Okay. First question. See, I need help like that. That's why we need the body of Christ to all help us. Okay, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's my first question to you. That's the starting place. You can't be a crazy person for Jesus if you don't even know who he is. So my question is, I'm not asking you, are you religious? I'm not asking you if you go to church every Sunday. I'm not asking you if you've been raised in church and you know all the Bible verses like I did. Because I went to church Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays. I went all the time. And I didn't anymore know Jesus as my Savior. I knew who he was. I even talked to him. But I had not made him Savior and Lord. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, is he your not only your Savior, because you can walk down. I remember when I ran down the aisle, because, like, I'd been raised in church. It took me months of arguing with the Holy Spirit. I would just sit in there and go, no, I don't need to do that. I already did that. And I would feel that tug in my heart, and then I'd be like, nah. I've been in church my whole life. What would these people think if I went down there? I'm 25 years old. I can't be running down the aisle. Well, I'll tell you, there was one time my seat was so hot, I could not sit in it any longer. I felt like there was, like, it was burning. I was, like, running down the aisle. But you know what? I got on the phone that night when I got in, because never, from that day forward, I never, ever questioned my salvation again. Because I knew in my heart that something changed. So if you don't know in your heart that something changed today, you're going to get the opportunity to do that. And I'm going to tell you, I hope right now, I've been praying that your seat will be so hot you can't sit there. Because I'm not going to make it easy and just like this. Yeah. No, you're going to have to run down front like I did. Sorry. It's about to get crazy in here. The second thing that happened to me that you need to do, if you've already made Jesus your Savior, but maybe you hadn't made him your Lord. This is super important. This was a different time for me. Yes, I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven. I called my mom and said, Mom, you don't have to worry about me anymore. I am going to be in heaven. She was so glad she prayed a long time. I was pretty wild. So don't give up on your prodigals, because you never know the day or time that God will call them. But they're coming. Because we mamas are just like that. We ain't giving up. But you keep praying and believe until you see it happen. But when I made him Lord, there were some things in my life I didn't want to give up. I had some idols. I had some stuff. Now, I'm not saying I don't get new stuff. Sometimes I do, and God has to deal with me, and I go, oh, I have to get rid of that. But there was a day when I wanted more of God. I wanted more in this relationship. And he said, well, in order to do that, you're going to have to give me everything. Everything? Like all of what I am? All of my dreams, all of my desires, everything that I have planned for my life? Yeah. That's when we make Jesus Lord. When we say, I'm not living any longer for me and what I want, but I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live for God's purposes. And that doesn't mean you have to be a preacher, okay? Because we all are called. But there is a difference when we go, I give it all. Now, I take it back a lot of times. I catch myself and I'm moaning, groaning, complaining, and getting my little pity parties. Because why do they get to do all this stuff and I don't get to do it, Lord? And he never says but about three words to me. Let me think of how many it is. He says, you said I could have it all. Seven. That's all he said to me. You said I could have it all. And I mean, just conviction comes over me. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. What was I thinking? Like I know that if I don't get these things that I see other people have, that it's not because you don't love me. It's because you have something better for me. Okay, so we just have to swing that thinking, right? Is that what he says? Swing that thing? Swing that thing. Because sometimes we get stinking thinking. I'm just coming up with all kinds of crazy things. I told you, it's about to get crazy in here. So crazy people make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Amen? Second question I have, do you know who you are? So this is huge important. If we're going to be crazy people, we got to know our identity. And right now, the attack on our identity is humongous. Like, I don't know a bigger word than that. It just seems huge, humongous. It's like they're attacking our children from the day they walk into a school. They're trying to, when our children are kindergartners, tell them they don't know who they are. They don't know what they made them. I said there's a couple of things that you don't get to pick when you're born. When you're born, you don't get to pick what you are. God determines that. He determines your sex, and you're either a male or a female. There's nothing else. There's no in-betweens. There's no, well, I want to just be an it. No. That's not look down and see what you are. It's real obvious. You know? I'm like, it's black and it's white. There's no gray here, so I don't know where the devil comes in and says, oh, no, we're going to make everything gray. There's not a women's bathroom and a men's bathroom. Now there's just a bathroom. It's just crazy, the world we live in. So if we live in a crazy world, we're going to have to be a little crazy. We need to understand that we are chosen. We are a royal priesthood. We are heirs to the kingdom of God. This is exciting. We are God's children, peculiar people. We are a little peculiar. I'm a whole lot peculiar, so if I can do it, you can do it. Jesus followers, Jesus has given us authority over the enemy. We need to understand that we have authority. God, that's exciting. That when things come against us, we don't have to sit back and go, oh, that's just the way it is. What do we do? I mean, right now, our computer crashed up there. I said, devil, it makes me so mad when the enemy tries to kill, steal, and destroy. And there's a message that God put in my heart that's it's important to go out on the internet, and what does he do? He goes in and crashes all our computers up there. I'm like, I'm up there a few minutes before church laying hands on the computer going, in the name of Jesus, straighten up, because I'm not accepting this. And so we are YouTubing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Facebook, well, I don't really like you anymore anyway. That'll probably get me in trouble. When you listen to it on Facebook, it drags and speeds up, so we sound like we're all out of key, and then we come back. Anyway, like I said, YouTube's better. Anyway, 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. In the King James Version, it says we're a peculiar people because he set us apart. He set us apart. If you've asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior, you're set apart. You're now God's children. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are people of God. Psalms 139, 13, and 16 says, for you were created in my inmost beings. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. God knows who you are. He created you before you were even born. He had a destiny and a purpose for your life. He has it for mine, but he has it for your life as well. And it's a good destiny. It's a good purpose. And he knows you, and we are his kids. That's exciting. But we have to know that, and we have to know it in our knower and believe it, that it's true. Luke 10, 19, and 20 says, this is Jesus talking. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That's what I was telling that up there this morning. In the name of Jesus, devil, you get off that computer. You know what I mean? It's just irritating to me. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample over snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, this is Jesus talking. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. They're written in the book. That's what it's all about. Is your name in the book or not? We need to stop believing the lies the enemy and others have spoken over us and done to us. Okay? The enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy us. Stop walking in bondage from our past, fear, and weaknesses. Start believing and walking in boldness, courage, confidence in who God says we are. Amen? Amen. I mean, doesn't matter what happens, you just remember what God says about you. Amen? So crazy people know who they are, and they know who their daddy is. Look at your neighbor and say, I know who my daddy is. Do you? I know who my daddy is. Do you? Say it with a little, okay, that's better. See, I like participation. It means that y'all are listening. Third question, do you know the Holy Spirit? Not every one of these questions are important, but this one, let me just tell you. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you're missing the power, because the Holy Spirit is our power source. And until you get filled with the Spirit, there's no way you're gonna try to. We can't walk the walk, so to speak, and talk the talk. We can have our big old Bible. We can come into church. We can be, amen, bless you, sister, bless you, brother, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We can do all that stuff. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit living in us, we're just like going through the motions. We're walking the walk and talking the talk, but we're not really doing it. And so you'll do that for a little while. But I don't know about you, but for me, there comes a time in your life when you're like going, okay, I've walked this walk, but I get bored. I like change. I've talked this talk. What else? When do we get to do the stuff? When do we get to do what Jesus says we're going to get to do? Like, there's got to be more. I think that's one of the questions that you need to get to a place where you go, there's got to be more, Lord. I got good news for you. There is. It's called the Holy Spirit. Because when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like taking the electric cord and plugging it into the electricity. Everything works. Pull the plug out, doesn't work. Put the plug in, it works. You got the picture? So without the Holy Spirit, we're just spinning our wheels. We're still saved. This is not a salvation question. This is a, do you want all the gifts? Do you want all the fruit that the Holy Spirit brings with him? And I'm telling you, it's good news. Acts 1, 4 through 5 says, on occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Now, this is Jesus. He gave them a command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that the Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it was important enough that Jesus says, wait till you get it. You know why? Because when we go out and we try to do all these things for Jesus and we're not filled with the Spirit, we don't have, I mean, we can hear, God will still speak to us and stuff, but you don't have the power that you need to see God do these incredible things that we're fixing to see. And I know it hadn't happened as quick as I think it's going to happen, but God's timetable and mine are never the same. I'm like, you're slow. I'm like, what's taking you so long? Of course, I would have already destroyed this whole place, so y'all wouldn't even be here today. I would have already said, wipe them out, Lord. So you're glad that God does not work on my timetable. John 14, 16 says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That advocate is the Holy Spirit. Luke 12, 11 and 13 says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how to defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. That's one of the ones I love, because I'm always put in these positions. And if you're going to be crazy for Jesus, if you're going to be crazy for God, you're going to be put in positions where you feel intimidated. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I really should not be here. I don't really fit here. I don't have the credentials to be here. And so the enemy will come in and try to intimidate you and say, what are you doing there? Like, you have no business being there. Nothing on this earth says that you should be where you're at in this meeting. But God's put you in that meeting for such a time as this because you have a place and a purpose. And you don't have to let that intimidation or fear come against you. You boldly say, get away from me, Satan, because God will give me what I need when I need it. He will give me the words to speak. I don't need to be intimidated by these people with all these letters after their names. Doctor this, doctor whatever, I don't care. God says I'm a child of God. I have authority. And he will give me the Holy Spirit when I'm plugged into the power source. He will give me what I need at the time, exact time I need it. And he has done that for me over and over and over in my life. And so the more you step out and trust him. Now, I'm a risk taker, so I take leaps. But that doesn't mean we're all like that. You can take baby steps, but if you don't ever step and you don't ever move, you'll never see God move in your life. You just won't. It's part of it. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So the Holy Spirit is in us, okay? Whom you have received from God, you are not your own. So the Holy Spirit, so it's important what we do with these bodies. And I'm not standing up here saying I always do the right things with this body, right? You know, I put wrong things in it. I do all that. But it's important what we do to our bodies. And it's important the lifestyles that we lead, because the Holy Spirit is living, indwelling inside of us. Okay, for me, the Holy Spirit is my best friend. For you, maybe you're just going to get to know him, start to know him this morning. But he should become your best friend. Because you can talk to him when you can talk to nobody else. Like when I can't even talk to Bob, I'm like, hey, you go your way and I'll go my way. You know, I mean, come on, we've been married almost 40 years. 40 years this year. We have learned, like, you take the car to church and I'll go my way. Because I got my foot on the gas and Bob got his on the brake. And I'm like, would you please speed up? I'm like, can I? It's just the way we are, but it's a good fit. Because it keeps me from getting way out there and getting in trouble. And it keeps him from just being on the brake all the time. Because I'm always behind him, let's go, let's go. And he's like, slow down, slow down. It's a good match. So what is the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not something that we need to think is weird. It doesn't mean we're going to be weird. The Holy Spirit actually is a gentleman. He will never make us do something we don't want to do. That's good news. See, that's good news. Look at your neighbor. That's good news. I don't have to be fearful that I'm going to be weird when I get the Holy Spirit. Well, if I look at her up there, maybe I'm a little worried. But no, I'm really not that weird. I'm just passionate. That's what I like to call it. Passionate and loud. But I have the gift of loud. The Holy Spirit, he's our helper, advocate, comforter, teacher, my best friend, and so much more. And he comes with benefits. Now, I know what y'all are thinking about. Friends with benefits. He's not that kind of friend. But he does come with benefits. He comes with gifts and fruits that we need and we need to use. He empowers us with confidence and boldness and fearlessness. That's good. Say, he empowers me with confidence. Boldness, fearlessness. I wasn't sure if that was a word, but it passed spell check, so I think it is. The gifts of the Spirit are words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of the tongues. And if any of that makes you nervous, it's okay. Just tell the Lord, I'm a little nervous about that. But ask him for it all. Here's the deal. He gives liberty, and he gives it when you need it. And so just ask him for everything he has for you. I mean, why put a limit on what God wants to do with your life? Let's take off the lid and just give him free rein. Amen? And the second thing is he gives the fruit of the Spirit, and we need this all the time. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I need a lot of that last one. Self-control, I don't know. That one's probably my biggest. But we need all of them. All the nisses and the love and joy, unconditional love that only God can give us. Joy in the midst of sorrow, pain, hurt. We can still have joy if we have the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. So we can see that the Holy Spirit is a must if we're going to be followers of Jesus. Who in here is a follower of Jesus? Raise your hand. So if you're going to be a follower, you got to have the Holy Spirit. Crazy people got the power. I got the power. Do you? And they do the stuff. Now, that's a big one. See, because I don't know. I was raised in a church that said the stuff stopped. Like, do the stuff. We don't do the stuff. Like, that all stopped when all the apostles died. We don't do the stuff. I'm telling you, we're going to do the stuff. We should already be doing this stuff, but we're going to do this stuff more and more and more. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through you, and you will say yes to God, you will say yes to Jesus, you will make him Lord, and you will say, okay, you know, I'm okay to be crazy. It's okay to be a little crazy, Lord. I could be like Noah and build a boat if you tell me to, or build something that I've never heard of before, because that's basically what he did, right? I mean, you say it's going to do something that I've never heard. Yeah, I'm okay to do that. You better know that you're hearing God, though. I will say that. But the longer you walk with the Holy Spirit and you hear and you talk to God, the more you're going to hear, understand his voice, and you're going to know when he's speaking to you. So number four, do you know your purpose? Oh, I got to hurry. Do we know our purpose? What's our purpose? Do you know? It's to evangelize. It's to evangelize. Let's look at what. We're all called to be lights in the dark world. We're all called to tell our stories, to make disciples. So we need to start believing that God has a plan and a purpose for our life that is better than what we could ever do on our own. The Great Commission, Jesus said, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Jesus sends out the 72. In Luke 10, 1 through 3, it says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.'" The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But at Generations Church, we're going to be a few of those workers. We're going to go out into this harvest, and we're going to make a difference. We're going to ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among the woods, the wolves. God is saying right now, go, I am sending you. Jesus has already given us. It doesn't matter. Like, your planning, your purpose might look a little different in how you do that, but we're all called to disciple. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you're called to disciple. It may not look like mine, but it's going to look like what God has created for you. So we got to stop waiting. See, many of us are going, "What's my purpose, Lord? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do in this world to make a difference?" And we're sitting around waiting for God to spell it all out. When all he's asking us to do is to take steps in that direction with what he's given us around us, with the tools that he's given us, with the giftings that we already have, with the people that are already around us, are we willing to risk and step out and talk to them and evangelize them? Because that's what he's calling us to do. So if you're waiting on him to tell you, he's already told us. So crazy people reach the lost. And one of the things I will say, if you start with what God's given you right now, as you start using that, as you start walking by faith, he's going to open up so much more for you. But he waits till we get started. He didn't go and go, "Oh, look, I got all this for you. And so you just go jump into that big old huge thing over there that's going to take you under." No, he wants us to start a little bit at a time by trusting him. And as he does, then he opens it all up. Amen? So number five, are you a climber or a camper? Well, now that's a funny question, isn't it? Right here in the middle of all this salvation stuff, Jesus stuff. Are you a climber or a camper? Well, my answer for that is you got to move. You can't stay still. Okay? So we have all started. All of us have different life stories. My life is different than yours. Right? I don't know your life. You don't know mine. But we all start with different stories. And so some are a lot tougher. You know, we do John 10:10 ministry here. It's a freedom ministry. And as I listen to people's stories, breaks my heart, some of the stories I've heard. It makes mine feel very minute compared to what some people have walked through, how much pain, hurt, and how much the enemy has tried to kill, steal, and destroy them. But when I look at those people that the devil has done everything in his power to destroy, I think God must have something really big for you. Well, and what do we do with that? So, what do we do with that? I'll tell you what. We need to be a climber. Excuse me. Do not be a camper. I was mixing up my words all last night. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go up there and mess up my words today. But if you're a camper, you'll never get up and do the work you need to do to get free and better yourself. You will continue to be comfortable with your bondage and continue in your self-pity and victimization. And I know that sounds like I'm poking. I am poking. And I'm not saying that your victimization and your pity is not real or even valid, because I've heard some of your stories. But if you're a climber, you're gonna try to figure out a way to not stay where you're at. To say, you know what, devil? You're not gonna keep me defeated. This is not the way God made me. And so you're going to have the initiative to get up and do something. To get up and try to better yourself. We just had Rebecca Contreras here. She started out with a really bad like she was born into a really mess when you read her book. But she wasn't, she once she got saved, she said, I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm going to do something. So she got education. She got up and did natural things to make herself better. So there are natural things, and then there are spiritual things that we need to do as well. John 10:10 is a spiritual thing. Going to school or whatever you need to do to help yourself, that's natural things. But we got to do both, okay, if we're going to be climbers. We've got to do both. But I'm telling you, if you don't, one of the things Rebecca told me, she said, she has a twin, identical, or not identical, but fraternal twin brother. Yeah, they couldn't be identical. Anyway, she has a twin brother, and he's not free. They were born in the exact same house, had all the same things. One, God is using in a huge way, and the other one's still bound up and a victim and addicted and all these things. Because he didn't ever take the initiative to get up and do something to better himself. So crazy people trust God to heal them and to set them free. They take steps to make that happen. They don't settle. They are always looking for ways to grow, better themselves, so that they are more effective for God's purpose and design for their lives. They take risks. They're risk takers because they know how big their God is and that he has a plan and a purpose for their lives. Amen? So Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Climbers are always looking for what's next. All right? They're always looking for what's next, God. And the answer is always, their answer to God is always yes. Now, that doesn't mean it's always just right there. There were some times when God ask us to do stuff that, I mean, we had to think about it. Because there's always cost to going to the next level, to climbing. There's normally cost. There's cost for everything that we do along our Christian walk. And so if we're going to continue to climb, I remember when God was telling us that our season at Shoreline was over. And that was huge because we were in our early 40s. Jacqueline was fixing to start Oral Roberts University. And we had three more kids right behind her coming up that were probably going to have to go to college. And God's telling us to go start a church. We're 40. We got a comfy place. I mean, Shoreline was a great church. We had great positions, both of us. We had great favor. We had God's favor on our lives. And God said, I want you to go start something from scratch. I'm like, seriously? So we laid some fleeces out, right? So I'm not saying I just jump off a cliff and, you know, I tend to jump more because I was kind of like, let's go, Bob. And Bob was like, whoa, let's weigh out our options, right? Which is good, though. But I did lay out some fleeces and said, Lord, if this is really you, I don't want it to be me wanting it. I want to make sure it's you. If it's you, then you're going to have to do this, this, and this. And every one of those things he did. And every time it happened, he let me know, did you see? I just did that for you. So you walk. And you know, I have never, and granted, church did not happen the way I had this vision in my head. It did not happen like what I thought. But I have never once ever gone back and said, oh, I made a mistake. Because I knew in my knower that God was doing it. And I've never looked back and said, oh, I made the wrong decision. And God has provided for us the entire way. Now, at the very beginning, when I was mowing grass, I was complaining a lot. I was like, are you kidding, Lord? I thought this was going to be a short season. It's 4 years, and I'm still mowing grass to make enough money to pay our bills. I mean, Bob and I did that for 4 years. But you know what God was doing through those 4 years? He was working stuff out of us that had gotten in us, stuff that was not good for what we're doing today. He was going, you, that pride, that this, that, you got to get that out of there. Because that's not what I'm calling, you don't need that in there, Tammy, for what I'm calling you to do. Because I believe that God's going to reveal his glory I don't even have the words to say what I think that God is going to do here. And in order to do that, he has to be able to trust us that we're not going to take credit for any of it. That we're going to give all the glory back to him. And that we are okay to handle what he's bringing. Okay, so Okay, so if it took me 4 years to get all that crud out of me, and he still works on me occasionally. The other day I had to clean the toilet because I said, don't ever let me be where I can't clean the toilet. And then our toilet, it was a mess, so I'm just not going to go into that. But anyway, I said, well, I'm still humble, Lord. I'm still cleaning toilets. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's through Christ. That's my verse. That's the first God ever gave me, and that's my verse. So when anybody tells me they can, I go, oh, yes, you can. Don't tell me you can't, because the Word of God says that I can do all things through Christ. So if we trust, not in our flesh, not in ourselves, but we trust in God and we trust in Jesus to give us the ability, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So one of the things that we need to do is we need to make sure that we own our own mistakes. In order to be a climber, you've got to acknowledge what you do wrong. So one of the things that I had to do to get healed was understand that I'd made a lot of wrong choices. So we have to, and things have also been done to us. We need to forgive. That's the biggest key to all of Freedom Ministry is the key of forgiveness. You will never be free if you don't forgive those that have hurt you. You will never be free if you don't forgive those that have victimized you. It's not hurting them, it's killing you. It's killing you. So in order to be free, you forgive. Amen? So crazy people climb no matter the cost. Look at your neighbor and say, crazy people climb no matter the cost. Okay, I'm running really. This is my last question. Okay, are you willing to, this is one of the biggest ones though. Are you willing to lose your reputation? Die to yourself. That's a big one. That's one, when I heard that song, that's what God was saying to me. Are you willing to? You know, we spend our whole lives in this world worrying about what other people are going to think about us. How we look, how we dress, how our family is, what people think of us. We do. I mean, it sounds yucky, but it's just the truth. That's what we do. We spend our whole lives trying to build a reputation that says we're a good person, that we you know, have value. When Jesus has already said it, so but we all do it. Amen? So my question, this is where the rubber kind of meets the road in our lives. I remember a time when God really said, I was like, God, this is me. This is like your inmost being of who you are. This is yourself, your flesh, right? Are you willing to risk that for the sake of Christ? And it's a question we have to ask daily. You know? What if I pray and someone dies? What if I pray for healing and they die, Lord? What if I tell my story and they reject me? Do you know I've been rejected my whole life? What if I share and then they reject me again? What if? What if they think I'm crazy? What if? The what ifs are so many. They are questions you must ask or answer. It's a risk, but what if it happens? What if you've prayed for all these people, and I've prayed for many people because I'm a faith believer and I believe in prayer and I believe that God is who he says he is and he can do what he says he is, can do, and that I am who he says I am. I believe all those things. And so I'll stand up here and it's harder for me because I'm standing up in front of a bunch of people saying, I'm praying for this person to be healed with cancer that everybody else has given a death sentence. Well, what if one day I pray for them and they're healed instantly? Just what if? What if we let the what ifs keep us from doing what God's getting ready to do? For me, the what if goes back to God. If you don't do it, God, it's not me anyway. I'm going to pray and believe in faith that you're going to heal this person from their cancer. And Lord, it's not, that's really all you're asking me to do. See, all he's asking us to do is to step out in faith and to trust him and to pray and to move, right? The outcome is not our responsibility. So don't let the enemy go back on you and go, well, it didn't happen. So are you going to do it again? You might look like a fool. Well, you might. You might look a little crazy. But I'd rather be crazy and believe in God than dead and, I don't know, that just, with buzzards all around me, you know. Just doesn't go for me. I don't like buzzards anyway. Luke 9:22-24 says, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. If we're going to see revival and be all that God has called us to be, then we must be willing to lose our reputation for him. And that looks, like I said, it looks different for each one of us. So I can't tell you what the next step is. Only God can do that. But I know the one who can tell you. And it's the Holy Spirit who's right now already moving in your hearts. Crazy people lose their lives. So what is the Holy, as the band and the worship team comes back, we're going to have some ministry time. And you know, I told you at the beginning, and I'm going to run over this list. Crazy people make Jesus Lord and Savior. Crazy people know who they are and who their daddy is. Crazy people got the power and do the stuff. Crazy people reach the lost. Crazy people climb no matter the cost. And crazy people lose their life. Do I got any crazy people out there this morning? Amen. So if you would bow your heads for just a minute. You know, I said earlier, if you've not ever made Jesus Lord and Savior, if you've been in church your entire life, but you've never really, like when you walk out of church, you always wonder if you're really going to heaven. Today's the day to change that. Today's the day. Today's your day. And so I want to ask you right now, if that's you and the Holy Spirit is ministering to you and you've never made Jesus Lord either. Maybe you made him Savior and you know, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I got that one covered. But there's some stuff in your life that you need to give up for him to make him Lord over everything, to give him it all. Then the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. And I'm going to ask you right now to stand wherever you are. See, because I said I'm not going to make it easy. Because the Holy Spirit didn't make it easy for me. I'm going to ask you to stand in your place right now. If you need to make Jesus Lord or Savior of your life right now. You can't let fear and intimidation stop you, because it will stop you your entire life. You've got to be bold and courageous and say, you know what? I need you. So is there anybody here this morning? Okay, so the next question is, and this is for all of us. Do you want God to light a fire in your spirit so big that you can't put it out, that the enemy can't put it out, that nobody can put it out, that he will give you the passion, the craziness to reach lost and hurting people around you? That you will be the kind of person that says, you know what? I lose my reputation for Jesus Christ. I'm in it all. I'm all in, Lord, all in. I want everything you have for me. And Lord, I want to reach as many people as I can for your kingdom. If that's you, I want you to stand up and come down to the front this morning. Because there's power when we take steps forward and we say, yes, Lord, I want it all. You can bring the house lights down a little bit in the back. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, you see your children coming. You see them coming. I want you to all reach up with your hands out like this, facing heaven. Thank you, Lord. Y'all can scoot in the middle so more people can come down. Thank you, Lord. You know, this, I can't even imagine what God's feeling like right now, because I know how I'm feeling right now. How blessed I feel to be in a church where God has put the kind of people that have hearts and desires to reach everybody they can, to be kingdom seekers, to be earth shakers for Jesus, to be just crazy as they need to be for Him. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you can start singing that Light of Fire. Lord, we just pray for the whole worship team, too, because I know their hands are lifted, even though they're worshiping. Lord, I pray right now as we sing this song, set a fire in my heart, Lord. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to download on all your children out here right now in the name of Jesus. Download passion, unquenchable fire on their lives. Lord, give them boldness, give them courage, give them strength. Let them be fearless for kingdom purposes in the name of Jesus. Let them be climbers in the name of Jesus. Let them not settle, never settle in Jesus' name. Climb, 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 climb. God says climb, climb, climb in Jesus' name. Take the limits off of them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that their minds will be renewed in the name of Jesus. Lord, that their minds, the thoughts that the enemy has put in there that says you can't do this. Lord, they're disintegrating right now. The lies are disintegrating over each and every one of them. Lord, that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Lord, it doesn't matter their age, from the youngest to the oldest, Father God. You have a plan and a purpose and a destiny for their lives. And we speak it forth right now in Jesus' name. We decree and declare it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, set a fire. Set a fire upon them right now in the name of Jesus.